You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC.
Welcome to another episode of the KMC Podcast. I'm Tom Bump, your host, and I'm glad to be with you on this episode. We're looking forward to discussing creativity, curriculum, kids worship, and who knows what else. I've got my good friend Corinne Noble joining me on the podcast. So Corinne, welcome to the KMC.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Corinne, tell us a little bit about yourself. Some people may not have met you yet in person. We've known each other for a while, served on some social media teams at some conferences together, and got to hang out in person finally. But you're on one coast and I'm on the other. So tell people a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so I've been in kids ministry since I was a kid. You know, felt called into ministry when I was 10 years old, so been doing it volunteer for a really long time, and 5 years full time. Feels like much longer, but in a good way. Right now I'm in Chandler, Arizona. So that's pretty near Phoenix. Most people would know Phoenix. And I'm at a church called Desert Springs Church. Love it. About a mid-sized church. And I'm currently leading the full kids ministry birth through sixth grade, just with an emphasis on the elementary ministry. And I just love what I get to do and love spending time with kids and spending time with leaders.
Awesome. Well, I know you have a heart for kids, and I've been following your blog for a long time, and we'll get a chance to talk about your blog at the end. But in your blog, you share a lot about your curriculum and how you've chosen to write your own curriculum. And I know there's a lot of people out there, some that do write it, others that don't. And there's pro and cons to both. But I thought it'd be cool to take an episode to talk about, because we've been on this creativity kick here on the KMC lately of asking people to be more creative and to be more intentional with what they do and the resources they have. And God's given you a gift. There's no doubt about it, for writing your own curriculum. And I'm just wondering, why did you start writing your own curriculum when there's lots of choices out there? What led you to do it on your own?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's, you know, it's definitely a God thing. Short answer is God. But there's a few other reasons. You know, like I said, I've been doing kids ministry probably full time, a little over 5 years. I've used a lot of the curriculums that are out there. There's great curriculum out there. You know, and obviously we all know there's lots of different curriculum out there because there's lots of different types of kids ministries, different cultures, different sizes, and just different stuff works for different people. Mm-hmm. So I've used a lot of the great curriculum out there, and, you know, I always tweaked it and made it my own and, you know, did my own thing with it. And, it was probably, I'd say May of 2016. I was sitting here and I was talking to my assistant, and I don't know what we were talking about. For some reason, I said, you know what? I am never going to write my own curriculum. That's just too much work. Like, I would never do that. And then sure enough, the next month, like 1 month later, I'd been talking with my lead pastor about doing kind of a, you know, cohesive summer series where the adults and the kids are all on the same thing. And I've been praying about it, and I was like, this is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be really great for our families. And then I felt like God tell me, you know, you should write your own curriculum all the time. And I was like, what? You know, I just said, like, literally 1 month before, like, I will never do this. This is too much work. It's crazy. Like, I can't do this. It's, you know, hard to sustain. And sure enough, you know, I really felt like the Lord was saying, you need to do this. And I've been doing it ever since. And it is crazy. It is time consuming, but man, it's so rewarding. You know, and like I said, I was really tweaking a lot of the curriculum I was using, and I realized, wow, you know, I tweaked my curriculum that I was using so much that it really wouldn't be that much different to just create the curriculum myself.
Right.
And, you know, it certainly is more work and more time, but it's awesome. And another great thing is, you know, it's free.
Yeah, price so, is right.
If you're, on like a tight budget, I know, like, you know, when I came to my current ministry position, you know, I was on a tighter budget than I was used to before. And being able to write my own curriculum opened up that budget, you know, to spend on other things. And that was just a really, you know, nice side benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there going, oh, I don't know if I could ever write my own, or like you,
right there with them.
I'm never going to write my own. What would you say, to them, you know, like, well, I guess explain the process that you go through for writing your own curriculum. And maybe through that, we can understand a little bit more of how you do it. So
yeah, you
what's
know,
your process?
I think it can seem daunting to write from scratch, you know, at first. You know, that's why people like to use curriculum and just kind of tweak it and make it their own, because they're not trying to work from scratch. But for me, what I do is I start like big picture. So I'll look at like the full year and I'll try to get curriculum series, like a theme. I like to do like a fun theme that, you know, you can theme your environment around and you can theme all of your games around and all of that. So I'll get like that type of theme, like the creative theme. And then I'll figure out what I want to teach during that theme. And then I'll figure out how many weeks I think I want to make that curriculum series. And I'll kind of get a whole year just planned out with just that big picture piece, those big picture pieces, you know, mm-hmm. what's the theme, what am I teaching, how many weeks, and then I start to flesh it out from there. You know, I'll go curriculum series by curriculum series. When I come to it, I do a big brainstorming session on one series, and I will brainstorm, you know, if I want to do skits, I'll brainstorm, you know, skit characters, what I want skit character to talk about, where I want that character to go. I'll just get all the big picture pieces together. Games, I make a giant list of games that fit the theme, fit the verse, fit, you know, fit into the teaching. I make a giant list of message topics and biblical passages. And once I get like all of those lists together, then I start going week by week. And I have like a little template that I fit into where I put like my Bible story. I have a takeaway statement. I have usually an object lesson, a game, and then I put an extra game and a skit idea. So I have like this little template that I work with each week that I just plug the big pieces into, and then I actually start writing. And that can sound like a lot, but it really helps to do that rather than just trying to like start week by week.
Right.
Like get that big picture, because you don't feel like you're like a train running off the tracks. Like, you know where you're going. And, you know, I think one of the things that's nice about curriculum is that you have that scope and sequence. I hear that a lot.
Right.
It's just nice to know where it's going, where it's heading. Make your own scope and sequence, you know. Mm-hmm. You can do it. That way you're not like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to teach next month. You know, because I think that's poor stewardship if you're not planning ahead and knowing where you're going with your teaching. I think that's super important. And also to make sure you're not just repeating the same concepts and the same biblical stories over and over again. Right. You want to know that you're really getting a full, you know, concept of the Bible and the different topics that there are.
Did you go through, when you first started doing this, did you go through a process of trying to figure out, okay, if a kid attends my church, you know, for X amount of weeks, I mean, even if they're, like, say, the, you know, I mean, nowadays the sad statistic of only being there twice a month as a regular attender, but if I get the kid more than that, did you go through a process of saying, okay, here's what I want these kids to know, here's how I want their discipleship to change, you know, their walk with Christ to change, and for them to be thinking about and saying and doing? Did you go through a process of figuring out, you know, kind of like that end goal for a kid to understand and to mm-hmm. to think about, you know?
Yeah, you know, I would say when I first started writing, I didn't really think through all of that as much as I, you know, have started to think through it as I've been writing.
Mm-hmm.
But I have come up with like a list of like the top 10 things that I want our kids to, you know, experience and to get out of kids ministry, cool. Before they graduate out. And I do take a look of that at that and make sure that what we're teaching in our curriculum is, you know, playing into that and is actually accomplishing those goals.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, yeah, it's great if you do that ahead of time, but if you don't do it ahead of time, you know, work on it and then, you know, look at your curriculum and assess, is this happening? You know, I think one of the things, you know, I've realized is I really want our kids to have a love of God's word, mm-hmm. and to have a personal time in God's word and just, you know, with God, that their parents don't have to prompt and their parents don't have to, you know, force, that I'm, you know, cultivating that and I'm talking to the parents about cultivating that. And that's been something we've really, really tried to do through our curriculum and through our services. And it's really cool to see the kids actually starting to, you know, ask for Bibles when they don't have them at home, and really just having a love and an appreciation for God's word. So that's been one of the main things I've been trying to do through my curriculum. And I think that, you know, I've been really seeing the fruit of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're writing the whole thing, what are some of the benefits that you found of writing your own curriculum?
Well, like I said, it is free. So that's probably a big one for anyone. I know a lot of people who write their own curriculum. That's one of the reasons they do it. Budget is tight and it's free. So that's awesome. One of the reasons I like it is because I feel like it's very fresh and it's not written for, you know, a group of kids in Atlanta or a group of kids in Florida. You know, it's written towards my audience.
Right.
And, you know, I do, since I share my curriculum, I try to make it as universal as possible, but I'm also able to think about what my kids need, the topics I'm hearing them discuss, things parents are saying, hey, I would like my kids to hear about this. I'm able to think about those things and mm-hmm. put that into my curriculum series. So that's really nice. And I think also, you know, you look at the lead pastor, he creates his curriculum, you know, his curriculum, but his sermon series are created fresh. Your youth pastor probably creates his sermon series fresh, right?
Right.
So
right.
For me, I feel like I'm more on the same page with the rest of the ministries in the church. If I'm creating, you know, my own stuff, I'm able to make it fresh for our audience. Boy. So I think those are some of the things that I really just love about it. And one of the things that I really try to do just to be intentional about before I write, I always sit and I just take a moment to just pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ask God, I say, look, you know, whatever I write, just let it be you speaking through me. Don't let me take the credit for it. Don't let me believe that I'm doing this on my own. Like, I want this to be, you know, inspired by you.
Right.
And obviously you can totally do that when you're tweaking another curriculum, but to be able to just write it all from scratch and to have, I've had these moments where just out of nowhere, complete coincidence, but of course, you know, God coincidence, you know, the pastor speaking on like almost exactly the same thing at the same time. And we didn't even know it.
Cool.
You know, or like someone will just be dealing with something and my message will just speak to them like a volunteer. It's a message for the kids, but you know, it spoke directly into a volunteer situation.
Right.
Just so many God moments have come out of being able to write our own series and our own curriculum. And I think that that's, you know, that's just being so obedient to what God is telling me to write. And like I said, I'm intentional about that because I just don't want to ever think, oh man, I'm such a good writer and this is so good and I'm doing this on my own. I never want it to be that way. I always want it to be, you know, about God and what he wants our kids to hear.
Yeah. Have you ever coordinated intentionally some of the services with what's going on in quote unquote big church?
Yeah. So like I said, my first series I ever did, which was my Marvel series, was actually in coordination with our main service. And it was really cool. It was what got me really excited about doing it. And we're actually planning on doing it again this next summer. It's, you know, it's not always easy to do it. I would totally do it 24/7 if it was, but you know, the series aren't always like easy to work into the kids ministry, but it's nice to be able to have that flexibility.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're using a curriculum that you pay an annual fee for, I know it's hard to take 2 months off and go and do a series with the main service. For me, it's super easy for me to just say, oh, I can just open up, you know, August and September and do a series with my pastor. Mm-hmm. And not have to worry about losing money.
Yeah, right, right. So about how long does it take you usually to put together a series? I mean, is this some, obviously you're not just writing it all out in one day.
No.
So, and then the other question I have is, how far out in advance do you write?
Such good questions. So it definitely varies depending on the series, like, you know, and also just depending on the day. I mean, anyone who has written before or is like a creative type, you know that like some days it's like you're a writing machine and you're just like pumping it out. And other days you feel like you're just hitting, you know, a creative block and a creative wall. So I'll definitely say it definitely varies depending on the day, depending on the series. For instance, I'll just give an example. Like over the summer, I did a disciple series. It was like minion themed and it was all about being better disciples of Jesus. And I thought that one was really easy to write. You know, it was pretty familiar stories. It was talking about the disciples of Jesus. It probably took me three and a half hours per week after I'd already done like the big brainstorm for the overall series, probably three and a half hours to flesh out 1 week. So that's pretty good. That means if you're really, really pushing it, you could pump out 2 weeks in one day if you needed to. Now the last series I just finished writing for the fall, which was our August through September series, is called Discovery. It has been so challenging, so God ordained. But man, it has been kicking my rear end, to be honest. And it's been so theological. We've been connecting the Old Testament to the New Testament. I've been having to do a lot of personal research and a lot of personal study to make sure I am biblically accurate and presenting the right stuff. And it has been hard. It's taken me easily 7 to 8 hours of a week to write this one. Wow. So more like double what my summer series took. And it's been hard. I mean, I honestly just breathed a sigh of relief when I was done writing it. But it's just been so good and so challenging, both to the kids and to the leaders. So it definitely varies depending on, I'd say, the subjects and, you know, just the day. And as far as like how far out I write, goals, hashtag goals, would be to write like a whole curriculum series, you know, in advance. Like I'd have it all done. Like for instance, right now I'd love to be done through like December. But reality is I probably write about 2 weeks out. I'd love to get to a place where I was a little bit more ahead, but it always seems that, you know, events and vacations,
ministry happens.
Ministry happens, and you know, curriculum is not my only thing that I do. So obviously that would be better, but it really, like I said, it helps to have that overarching planning done. So I already know where I'm going for basically the rest of 2018, even. Wow. I already know where I'm going, where I'm heading. So it doesn't make me feel like panicked.
Yeah.
I'm only 2 weeks out.
That is awesome. Wow. So, okay. So, and obviously, so that we just kind of segue right into the next part of what are some of the challenges to creating. And obviously you're doing full-time minute, you're leading a ministry, you're leading a team, you know, you're recruiting, you're doing other events. Just before we recorded this, you had a glow party for your fifth and sixth graders as a small community group. You know, you've got lots of things going on. You're not stopping. So obviously that's one of the challenges, is creating that space to be creative. What have been some of the other challenges to creating your own curriculum? Because it would be good for people who are considering this to go in with eyes wide open to say, okay, I got to understand that I'd love to do this. And you can't just scrap all the rest of your ministry.
No, you can't. And, you know, I think, you know, there's a reason I wasn't writing curriculum at different seasons in my ministry. And I really believe that there's a season, you know, for everything in ministry. And there was a season where I was very like event driven and I was doing lots of events and I felt that there wasn't the space for writing my own curriculum. And, you know, at my current position, I feel like we're a little less event driven. We certainly do events, but we're not doing one every week. And it's kind of created that space to be able to prioritize this a little bit more. You know, I would say one of the biggest challenges that you face is that Sundays just keep coming. I mean, I know that's just like a duh, but you know, it's like we don't get a break. There's not like a week off. Like Sundays just keep coming. It's never over. You're just constantly writing. And that's, you know, that's a huge challenge. Especially when you hit those weeks where you just don't feel creative and you just don't feel like writing, and you sometimes have to really push through it and just break down that wall. It can be easy to give up and just be like, well, you know, there's other stuff out there and, you know, I'll just, you know, give up. And I would say, you know, what keeps me doing it is just that I feel like it's what I'm supposed to be doing, and it may not be what everybody is supposed to be doing. But for right now, I feel like it is, and I can't go against that because I know, like, I've been there. I've gone against what I feel like God has told me to do, and that's always a rougher road than going with what God tells you to do. So, you know, I keep going. One of the things that I do, I know this is kind of like a little off of this, but one of the things that I do to create that space is I talked to my lead pastor when I first started writing, and I told him, hey, I think this is a priority, you know, to write our own curriculum. I think it's super important, but I find it really challenging to write curriculum when I'm sitting in the office because I find people distracting and people talk to me, and I can't write in a busy, you know, environment. So I talked to him about it, and I said, look, would you be okay with me taking a consistent day a week to just write from home where I can be in silence and just create that space, that creative, you know, environment for me to write? And, you know, he was totally cool with it. And I know not every lead pastor would be, but I really appreciate him allowing me to create that space. So every Thursday is my writing day. And it's very seldom that I will ever take a meeting or come into the office or do anything else on Thursdays besides write my curriculum. I really prioritize that and create that space. And that makes such a huge difference. And then I just, you know, I do all the other things that I do on the other days. Yeah. So that's just what's worked for me to keep myself going. And some Thursdays I write 2 weeks, 3 weeks even. And some Thursdays I write one, you know, I just do what I can in that time period.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That is awesome. And I appreciate you sharing a lot more of that process with us. So that, you know, like I said, because I think there's a number of people out there in our community that you know, have considered it. I know myself, I've done a little bit in the past. And then, like you said, a season happened and where I didn't need to do that, or I wasn't going to do that. I didn't have that space. But it's something that I know I do enjoy when I do have that. It's a lot of fun. It's energizing, in a lot of ways, like you said, to see what God does through us, is always an amazing thing to sit back and go, wow, that was a total God thing.
And just as a side note, just this, past Sunday, I did a message, and, one of my adult leaders, he's, you know, a middle-aged man, he texted me, just out of nowhere on Sunday afternoon. He was like, hey, you know, your message was just amazing. I've never heard that preached in that way. And it just really spoke to me, and I just wanted to let you know. And that was just really encouraging to me, just to know, like, I just encourage people all the time, like, kids ministry is not just for kids, you know,
write
stuff, and it can speak to the adults in the room just as much. So that was just a really cool moment.
Yeah. Well, I want to dive into another area that I know you're passionate about, and it's a little harder to do. I'd love to do a visual episode. We may have to do one live, you know, a live stream from your kids' environment, because I know you love creating environments to because we're going to go into this segment of talking about kids' worship. And I know, like I said, I know the environment is one aspect of it. But leading kids in worship is really super important. getting them into an attitude and an atmosphere of worship. I'm just curious, how do you see kids worship, the kids worship time? How has it changed over the past few years?
Well, you know, I think a lot of different kids ministries do kids worship in different ways. And, you know, some things work for smaller churches and mid-sized churches and bigger churches. But one of the things that I've seen just trending lately is doing more of the same music as the rest of the church is doing. I feel like more of a, we're all on the same page. You know, it's all the same type mm-hmm. of worship. We're all using the same artists. Or even like you see like a Yancey, I know she's been doing a lot of like covers mm-hmm. of music that you're going to hear in like the main service.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a good trend.
Me too.
I'm loving that trend. It's, you know, I grew up, you know, I'm a little younger, so I definitely grew up in like the kids worship era where everything was very like different. We had different songs, different music, different style, and it was fun, but it was different. And
right.
I think it's beneficial to create a more cohesive worship across the entire church, because mm-hmm. when you think about the fact that we're not raising kids, we're raising adults.
Right on.
And we want them to be comfortable when they go into main service. We want them to be comfortable when they graduate out of kids service and they go into youth service. And one of the ways that we can do that is by using some of the same music, some of the mm-hmm. same songs, creating a similar atmosphere with our lighting, with our sound. One of the things that we've done, and this is challenging to a lot of people, but one of the things that we've done is we've created a live worship team, a full band for our kids' worship.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I know a lot of people tell me, when I tell them this, they're just like, oh, we couldn't do that at our church. There's just not enough people. You know, there's not the interest. And I'm like, I've done it at two churches now, and I really believe you can do it, especially if it's, you know, if it's your passion and you believe in it, the people are going to come out. You know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of people in your church who want to be, you know, who play an instrument, who sing, who want to be a part of a worship team, and they may not be accepted onto the main worship team. They may not be accepted on the youth worship yeah. team. Get them on the kids worship team.
I was going to say, or what about even, I mean, do you use kids to do
oh, yeah.
kids? I mean, because I've done that myself where I had a kid who played the keyboard, and I've had kids leading the worship themselves.
Oh yeah. We use all ages. We use kids. We use teenagers. We use adults. I mean, we get everybody involved.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's really the more that we can, you know, just create that cohesive worship culture.
I like that.
I mean, the better we're going to create bridges between our ministries and just create a similar environment. I think that's important.
Yeah, I agree. Because I think if we don't connect them now, they are going to feel disconnected when they graduate out of kids ministry. And I think even if you're in youth ministry, I think sometimes we can kind of do a disservice or create a disconnect because our youth services are so different yep. than our main environments. You know, the big church, so to speak. I hate using that term, but that's we'll call it
main
for that.
Service, adult service, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah, the adult service, the main environment. There we go. That we create that disconnect even for teenagers, and then they can't worship or they feel like the adult service is boring.
Right.
And I think we've done that to ourselves. Don't you agree? I mean, I think.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like having you with that focus of saying, okay, I want to do some things that are very similar. It's not to say that you can't do some kid-oriented fun songs right. with crazy motions.
Absolutely. We still use motions yeah. in our upbeat worship. You know, we call it upbeat worship or whatever. Whatever you want to call it, praise time or,
yeah.
you know. we still use motions. But, you know, we also do, you know, slower worship time where we don't use motions. And, you know, we use a lot of the same music that you'll hear in youth group or you'll hear in adult service. But we don't use all of the same music. You know, we really make it a goal to use one or two of the same songs,
uh-huh.
You know, each week. So they're becoming familiar with them. But not all of the music that they use in main service is going to work with your kids. Because we all know that there's a lot of like wordy, you know, super full of imagery worship music that sometimes you might use in an adult worship service that might just not connect with your kids. Right. So you have to really think that through. And also just look at the culture of your church, because not every church has the same worship culture. Mm-hmm. You know, if your church is big on Hillsong, you're going to need to use Hillsong in your kids' ministry, because that's what your church culture is.
Right.
And, you know, the kids' ministry doesn't set the culture for the church. It's the reality. So right. We do have to follow, you know, our lead pastor and, you know, even the worship pastor or the worship ministry for the main service. We have to follow that, at least in some of what we do, to create a similar culture.
Yeah, yeah. So when we think about worship time, what are some of the elements that build into your worship? What are some of those key elements that you feel are important in your worship environment and worship service?
Well, you know, we do something kind of, I feel like we do something a little bit different with the layout of where we put our worship, which has really worked for us. And I haven't really seen it, you know, done this way. You really see a lot of like services just start off with worship, you know, and we used to do it that way. And we kind of moved it around. And I like the way we do it now, where we actually have like some like beginning elements, you know, like welcome announcements. We're setting the scene for the theme, and you know, we do like birthdays and first time guests and rules and all that stuff. We do all that stuff in the beginning. I don't know about other people's churches, but we have a lot of people that kind of roll into church 15 minutes late. I really don't want my kids missing the important, like the most important elements
right.
of my service. And I do think worship is one of those important elements. Mm-hmm. So I worship more to like the middle of our service. So we will have like our worship, like what we consider our upbeat worship. We'll do like two songs about 30 minutes into our service. And we do that with a full worship team. We use a lot of lighting. We bring the lights down. I feel like that's really important.
Uh-huh.
We might be a little loud for some people, but I feel like you want to have the volume at a certain level where the kids don't necessarily hear themselves singing too much, because older kids are already getting a little self-conscious okay. about hearing themselves singing. So I like to have the sound up a little bit. That's nice. So we'll do like two upbeat songs, and then we'll have like the message. And I've moved our, you know, our more slow worship where we don't use motions and we just sing and we worship. I've moved that to after the message time. And that's been so effective for us. We use it as like an altar time as well as worship. So we call all the kids down to the front. Feel like this is super important. We get them out of their seats. We get them out of their comfort zones. And it can be hard to get this started, because if your kids are used to sitting in their seats or staying in their seats, they don't want to come to the front.
Yeah, right.
You keep getting them out of their comfort zone, and they come at one point. And I spread them out. I give them a lot of verbal direction. You know, I tell them to focus, close their eyes, get away from distractions. Don't bring distractions with them. I think a verbal leading is really important.
Uh-huh.
We really use it as a response time to the message as well as a time to worship. And I think it's just been so effective, because we're drawing them in to the worship, and we're interweaving it with the message for the day. And I think that that's super important, not to treat it as like a separate time in your service, but to make it flow together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I like that. I like how intentional that you've planned things, and because I would encourage our listeners to consider trying something like this, just because sometimes we get into such a rut. And I mean, yes, I fully agree. Repetition is absolutely essential, and so having elements of your service that are the same and done the same way is not a bad thing.
Absolutely.
So I'm not saying that, you know, that can be bad, but I like how you've created an atmosphere to put the important things in the important spots, rather than saying, well, this is the way we have to do it. I think we ought to shake some things up every once in a while. And for those of us that have been doing, you know, the same things, front load the worship time, the singing time, and then, you know, the kids end up missing some of that. Because my church was always like yours. I always threatened I was going to lock the doors 10 minutes in, and, you know, say, hey, well, get your kids here early, you know. But anyway, that's another podcast too. But I like that. I like some of the stuff, like I say, of what you do, because one of my next questions is, as a leader, how do you, because I know one of the big questions, I've seen this on the KMC Facebook group, a question several times about struggling to get boys to interact, especially that fourth, fifth, sixth grade boy, to get drawn into the worship time, into the Bible lesson time. What have you done? Because I believe that you already mentioned one thing about with the lighting. But what do you do typically to get and engage those older boys and those older kids? I mean, it doesn't have to be just boys.
Yeah, you know, and it's definitely a process with older kids in general. And I do agree. You know, I think it's a whole nother conversation on why boys do not participate as much as girls do. Mm-hmm. But it is true that boys are harder to engage overall. And I always have a lot more interest in, like, even being on the worship team from girls. And so it's always trying to get boys on the stage, trying to get men involved. It's definitely a challenge. But I would say it's a process. It's, you know, right now we've got a couple of boys that have finally joined on to the kids worship team. Getting boys on the stage, older boys on the stage, that's a huge one. You know, because if an older boy comes to church and they can see another older boy on the stage worshiping, mm-hmm. that's huge.
Yes.
So obviously getting some older boys on the stage, super helpful. It's a process. Mm-hmm. And once you get one, you tend to get more. So, right. You know, you have to keep plugging along, because I know I've been discouraged in that area before, you know, even recently. And we had one boy, and then we got two. And then we had a third one, and it's just, you know, it builds.
Right.
And, you know, the other thing is, even if you have, you know, guys on your kids' team, you know, men or even teenage boys who don't necessarily want to be on the stage, but, you know, they're there, they're in the environment during worship, you know, I really require all my volunteers to be participating at all times, including during worship, whether they're on the stage or off the stage. You know, having your men participating during worship, uh-huh. among the kids, behind the kids, but interspersed among the kids, that makes a big difference too, for kids to see you know, both genders worshiping. Yeah. And I know, like, I speak from personal experience, it is a challenge to get, you know, at least in some ministries, it's a challenge to get men involved at all, but even get the one you got involved,
right?
And you know, you just build from there. And I think it's even more of a challenge for, you know, coming from a female perspective, as if you're a female children's pastor or children's director, it can be harder to get men involved in your ministry than it is as a male children's pastor. So I would just encourage, you know, other women leaders to just continue to push the need for that male leadership and those male role models in your environment.
I agree. I just did a fantastic podcast with Kathy Phillips, and we were talking about women leadership, and one of the struggles that she brought out was, and I asked her about, was because I've noticed it when you go to a lot of conferences, you see women, you know, you see a lot of women teams. You don't see a lot of teams with if there's a lady leader, you don't often see a lot of guys around there. And so I was asking her about that, and she said, well, one of the things that she broke through with is, and where she's gotten more guys involved in her ministry, was by, you know, starting off with the real finding the most masculine jobs that she could, like security and crowd control and sound system and those kind of things, and got the guys in there. Broke the ice, and then little by little got them doing, you know, other jobs. And that's I said, you know what? I think that's true, because men do have a mentality that kids' work is women's work. And I've fought against that. I mean, I've been in ministry 30 years, and I've fought that stereotype of, well, you're leading a bunch of women. And so I've worked hard at making, I've taught the concept for years in seminars about thinking blue, that when I think blue in the way I program, the way I organize, I do attract more guys to the ministry. And I remember recruiting a guy who in our church, he was a total biker dude, had all the tattoos before tattoos were really acceptable in the church. And a lot of people looked at him funny for coming into our church with all the tattoos and the leather jacket, and he'd ride his Harley in on a good, you know, warm day, and everybody looked at him nuts. Well, I finally started going, I watched him with his son, and I was like, man, this guy is a great dad. He's got a heart for his boy, and I knew he coached his son's ball team and stuff, and I'm like, I need to get this guy into our kids ministry because he is going to be phenomenal. And so I asked him to be a security guard for me. And so he came and started serving once, twice a month, just being my security person, walking the hallways, standing around by the bathrooms to make sure kids weren't messing around and that they got back to the classrooms and their small groups. And it didn't take long, honestly, probably 6 months. And he started asking more questions about children's ministry. And then about a year into it, he finally said, hey, do you think I could do something like this, you know, like a small group kind of thing? You know, I think that'd be kind of fun to be in my son's class and to hang out with the boys. And I'm like, well, it just so happens that your son's old enough that we're going to be dividing the group boys and girls. And, you know, he ends up being the boys' small group leader for the fourth grade boys. And he was phenomenal. But that also then changed, you know, I started asking him questions and he was like, well, you know, I watched from a distance, you know, and for a long time, you know, I watched the singing and it looked like you had to be a cheerleader to enjoy the worship time. And, you know, there was all these dance moves that I don't feel comfortable as a dad and as a guy doing. And so it changed the way I started doing, you know, I hadn't noticed because I had a lady leading the worship. I hadn't been paying attention to thinking about that kind of thing until I got this burly man in, and he started going, oh, okay, now I know why my boys aren't worshiping the way I'd like them to worship, because they're probably feeling the same things dad's feeling. So I'm glad you thought through some of that. That's good stuff.
And that's a great point. You know, I've heard this many times, and this is just what I do in my ministry. We have all the way up to sixth grade, which some people can find very challenging. I personally love fifth and sixth graders. So, I mean, that's just like my easy group. But I really aim at the fifth and sixth grade boys.
Awesome.
Because that's what you got to do. They're the hardest to please. If you can please a fifth or sixth grade boy, then you're going to get everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I agree. It's true.
So, I mean, you have to look at your worship and think, if I'm a boy, do I want to sing this song? Because as weird as it is, certain songs almost have a girly vibe.
Uh-huh.
And we'll hear a song and I'll be like, you know, that just sounds like a girly song. Our boys wouldn't like it.
Yep.
And I won't use it. And I understand, like, that maybe sounds mean in some ways, but I'm like, if a boy isn't going to worship to it, I don't want to use it. And that just... Final word.
I don't think that's a bad idea in a lot of ways. I mean, I honestly, yeah, I know that there are some songs that is not going to resonate to every guy. But
right.
I will say, I happened to be watching a live stream of a service recently, and it hit me how high they were singing. The worship team was leading this song, and it was, and I'm no music person, so I don't know what key it was in or anything, but it was... I sat there and was trying to hum along, and I used to have a higher range. I wasn't going to be able to sing, and so I was trying to figure out. And it, all of a sudden, I'm thinking, man, if I was standing in that crowd, how uncomfortable I would have felt as a man trying to sing up there, but then also trying to sing to find the comfortable zone. And I don't think sometimes we think about those kind of things in our worship times of what makes people, even our leaders, feel comfortable doing. So
exactly.
I'm glad that you have thought through some of those things and have verbalized it so well, because I get frustrated sometimes because I don't want to come off sounding like a sexist pig, but
no,
I think that's some of the things that we need to think about to be conscientious of each other,
exactly.
and to make everybody feel accepted in the worship time. You know, it's just like when we think about outsiders and people that aren't comfortable in the church coming in for the first time, we spend a lot of time thinking about how do I make that comfortable? You know, for a new kid that comes into worship, this is all brand new. They don't know when to stand, when to sit. Do I close my eyes? Do I keep them open? What do I do?
You have to verbalize it.
Yep.
So
cool. Well, Corinne, there's so much more I want to talk about. I want to get into talking about environments and the things that you create. I'm going to tell people, look, it really is so visual. You need to go to Corinne's blog and see these amazing stages and environments that she creates to help draw kids in visually with what she's teaching. So, Corinne, tell us how people can find your blog and how to touch base with you if they have questions or want to dialogue more, because I encourage people to get in touch and connect and network. And so how do people connect up with you?
Yeah, I would love to connect with anyone who's interested. My blog is kidmincorinne.com, and I know Corinne is hard to spell, so I'll spell it. It's C-O-R-I-N-N-E. So I'm Kidman Corinne on pretty much all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'd love to connect with people on any of those. And on kidmincorinne.com, I share all of my curriculum that I write, as well as set designs for my environments and just other Kidman tips and whatever I feel like.
Excellent. And folks, she does that all free, and she's probably going to shoot me for saying this, but you know, she doesn't charge for any of that, but if you want to bless her, bless her. If God lays it on your heart and you've used her curriculum and it's been a blessing to your kids' ministry, certainly there's a donate button on there. Do it. Hit it. So that's just for me, my freebie. But I think it's important that we continue to support fellow kid ministry people and help them. Because, man, I've certainly benefited from it. So, well, Corinne, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for being on this, and we will definitely get you back. There's a lot more our community can learn from you. And look her up on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group. If you're not part of that, you can request to join. It's just the Kids Ministry Collective. We'd love to have you join our group. We're creeping up on 2,000 people in the group, which it's not a huge, huge group, but it's an active group. And it's a group that I have seen a lot of growth as far as connecting and networking and sharing ideas and pushing kids ministry forward. And so, Corinne, thanks for doing some things like this. And I do, like I said, we want to get you on the folks. The stuff she's doing with fifth and sixth graders is really innovative and very cool. And it's some things that we are going to get you back on to talk about those kind of things too. So thanks for joining me, Corinne.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.